and up on the little one. There we go. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 32. I want you to give me your ear just for a minute this morning. I'll not preach long, but I'm a little bit nervous about the message this morning, because I've never said exactly what I'm going to say this morning in this way, and for obvious reasons, you'll get it in a minute. But honest to goodness, I feel like it's what the Lord laid on my heart. I really do. It's been on my heart since about Wednesday or Thursday. I've been praying, and I've been praying for next week for the youth rally and everything. And I think I was running or making radio tape or something the other day, and this thought just hit me just as plain as day, and I wrote it down on a little card like this. And so that's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to obey the Lord. I got hundreds of outlines I could give you. Hundreds. But I'm going to try to obey the Lord. I learned a long time ago, when God impresses something on your heart, try to follow the Lord and you'll come out better. So if you'll just bear with me for a few minutes this morning, this may not be much of a sermon, but it is my heart. I promise you that. Jeremiah 32. And look at verse number 38. Jeremiah 32, verse number 38. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And I want to preach this morning on the subject, if I were not the pastor. If I were not the pastor. And I think this every now and then. I start telling people, do this and do that, and I think, if I wasn't a pastor, what would I do? I've asked myself, if I wasn't a pastor, where would I go to church? If I lived in Morganton, or Hickory, or Lenore, or Marion, or down toward Brotherton, if I was not a pastor this morning, I wonder where I'd go to church. I don't mean this bad. I really don't. I don't know if a church in Burke County that I want to go to if I wasn't a pastor this morning. I'm not saying, please don't take that wrong. I want to go where there is something. I want to go where there you get something. Where would I go? Now, I'm going to talk about this morning, and I'm going to talk about one, two, three, four people, different kinds of people, and they all begin with a P. It's not on purpose outline, it just worked out like this. Parents, policemen, principals, and pastor. Parents, policemen, principals, or a pastor. As a parent, when I was little, I have no idea what my parents went through for me. I would get up and I'd say, Mom, where's Daddy? She'd say, he's at work. When I was little, I had no idea why he went to work. I just thought he didn't have nothing else to do and liked to go to work. When I went and got something out of the refrigerator, when you're little, you just think, that's where food is. You don't realize that somebody worked and bought that food and put it in there so you could fill your little bratty stomach with it. Isn't that right? That's true. I mean, when I was little, I remember going and getting stuff out. Mom would be busy and Daddy was gone, of course. We figured out how to make grilled cheese. Somebody taught one of my sisters how to make, and we figured it out that you could put the oven on broil and put a piece bread, give me a kitchen, please. Lay a piece of cheese on it and put it in there, and that was a grilled cheese. And I'd look at it and it'd start getting brown. I'd look at it again, and then bubbles would start coming up on top of the cheese. That's the way you know you got fake cheese.
And it starts turning brown. That's when we like it. We'd peel them bubbles off and eat it. And I remember doing that. I never even thought my daddy may be having a bad headache right now, and he's at work right now, so I can have this grilled cheese. It never dawned on me. And I remember my clothes. Mom always bought us blue jeans. We had, even when I got up in high school, we had those tennis shoes. Of course, I played basketball. Mom, we had everybody. You didn't have 50 different kinds. You wore Converse or the cheap kind. Converse. Everybody wore Converse. I remember wearing them Converse tennis shoes, and they was always clean. I never thought nothing about Mom having to do all that. You went to your room, got your clothes, put them on, ate breakfast, slept in the bed, had heat in the summertime. Wintertime, you had heat in the summer too. We didn't have air conditioning. You didn't appreciate, you didn't realize what they're doing. So when you get big and you get kids, you start thinking, I'm doing all this for you because I love you. And I'm doing all this because I want you to have better than what I have. And I'm doing all this because I want you to grow up. But the kid don't know it. The kid has no clue why you're doing what you're doing. I thought about that a lot. I remember staying out later than I was supposed to, worrying my mom sick. Mom would worry about us. And I never thought, when I was with them boys that run around town marrying, I might be hurting my mama. I didn't know what she went through. Then when my girls got up and they'd go out at night, if I told them to be home at 11 o'clock or sometimes they'd go a little later or something like that, and it got past then, I'd say, everybody didn't have cell phones until just a few years ago. And you start thinking, Where they at? And then you start thinking all kinds of things. They've had a wreck. Lord, they're laid up yonder, turned over in the ditch somewhere. You parents know what I'm talking about. You know, and when your kids start going, then you remember why your mama was so worried about you when you was there. You say, oh, Mom, we just went to the movies, and you think, Mom, you worry too much. Then when you get kids, you're going to know exactly how your mama felt. Now, you know where I'm going this morning. That's a little bit about like what it's like pastoring church. Y'all have no idea. You have no idea. And I ain't trying to sing you a sad song. I was just thinking about policemen. Roger, he was supposed to be in here this morning. Roger has a hard time of the morning. Y'all pray for him with his sickness. And Roger's a policeman. When I was little, there again, we were up saying, there's a cop. I had no idea how much we ought to appreciate policemen. As a matter of fact, when you grow up, people call them names that I won't even mention here this morning. People call policemen, rock singers all hate policemen. And it's them same policemen that protect them, sorry, good for nothing things, when they go in and out of those concerts to keep a crowd from mobbing them. And yet they hate them and teach their followers to hate them. They're gonna reap that one of these days. I'm old enough now, I appreciate the police. I'm glad there's policemen out there protecting us. They should leave me alone. But other than that, I'm glad for them. If you're sober, they're not mess with you. But anyway, I'm glad they're out there. I don't like to see a blue light coming out behind me, but I'll tell you one thing. Thank God they're out there doing their job. Really. You want them all to quit? No, you don't. And you kids here this morning ought to be taught to respect the police. You say, oh, there's the po-po's. They're going to come get me. No. They're policemen. They're ministers of God. Sin. That's right. Amen. That's right. And then a principal. When I was in school, we had a principal. We didn't need cops at our school. We had a principal. We have at least one. Well, the Mike's not a principal no more, is he? They fired him. No, I just kidding. Terry, raise your hand there, Terry. This man here has just took over George Hildebrand, is at elementary school, this year as principal. This man right here. When we were little, wait a minute, I didn't like the principal. When you remember how you felt about the principal? There he is. Our principal was Jack Kirstein. He's dead and gone now. And principal's up there. And we said, there's old Jack. Jack coming. Jack. And everybody, you just automatically hated him. We didn't have no reason to hate him. We just hated him. There's a devil in us. There's a devil in us. And before him, we had G.L. Bird up there in Nebo. And Mr. Bird, bless his heart. I mean, you know what? They was like Terry here. They got a hard job. I've never been a principal, but I was a pastor and we had a principal in a Christian school. So I know the principal called me every day. Brother Danny, get up here to school. We need to have a talk. Brother Danny, so-and-so's mad. Brother Danny, you know that woman with them three kids? She's up here, folks. And the women come in your office and say, I've got a complaint. You need to do something with that English teacher. She failed my kid. And I know my kid's just as smart as in the And then and you have to discipline. And everybody's kids are perfect. You won't make enemies. You go to mess with somebody's kids. Their kids are perfect. They never done nothing wrong. Their kids always get mixed up with the wrong crowd. It's always the other people that influence their little darling angel. Their little darling angel would never do nothing. We argued with ladies over and over and over who would not believe that their kid did something wrong. And you'd prove it. The retard was smoking pot. And they'd say, well, somebody made him. No, he wasn't. He was giving it to those kids. But he was forced into it. That's what you got to deal with when you're a principal. You have to deal with irrational people. They're not even rational. They can't reason. They can't even look at something fair. All they see is their side. That's sort of like pastor and church too. I feel people all the time that all they can see is their side. And one of the hardest things to do in life is see the other person's point of view. Even though you don't agree with it, learn how to see something from somebody else's side. Then you might can understand why they feel like they feel. That don't mean you agree with it. That don't mean you'll ever agree with it. But you can work with them if you'll see their side. Now, We used to think our principal sat up at night and thought about ways to be mean to us. I used to think that. Same way you do about the pastor. You know, I think he thinks all week about ways he can preach about my feelings and stuff. I used to think, he hates us. His ministry and mission in life is to torment us. He just walks around trying to catch us doing something wrong. So he can beat us. And they did beat us back then. And it worked better than what they're doing now. And we didn't threaten to call our lawyer, brother. We didn't say, I tell my mom and daddy, and she'll come down here and see you. We'd say, please don't tell mom and daddy. Because they'd beat you again when you got home. Is that right? That's right. He's a bunch of nuts nowadays. It's gone crazy nowadays. But anyway, let's talk about the pastor for a minute. If I were not the pastor, I know I don't usually talk like this, and I know this is way slow and soft for me, but I'm just going to give you my heart. If I were not the pastor, just a minute. First thing I want to say, I sat down last night and I thought, if I were not the pastor, what would I do? And the first thing I'd do is, I'd drive a long way if I had to get my family where God is.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something tonight, or this morning. Every church ain't the same. Every church don't have the power of God in it. I'm not being judgmental. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not saying we're not. God knows we need a lot more of it here. But I'd drive a long way. I would drive a long way to get my family where they can find God. A long way. We have people here this morning, driving an hour one way. You know what, Jewish family? That's crazy. Why, you pastor, 100 churches going there. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd drive a long way to get my kids. Get me down just one hair, Brother Mike. I'd drive a long way this morning to get my family where they can feel God's presence. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We're living in a time when most churches you go to, and you know it,
You go there and it's hey, how are you? And everybody's dressed nice, and it's just something you do on Sunday morning because you're a decent person, and it's just something you go to there on Sunday because you've always done it or you was raised that way. And no, there's never a real encounter with God happens to you or your kids. I'm going to tell you this morning, the most important thing in the world today is that you and your kids and your family realize at church there is a real God. There is God. This thing is real. This thing is real. I drive a long way to get my family. Not all churches are the same. All preachers are not the same. I've been listening to some preaching. Tim brought me some CDs and stuff of some of the old preachers from days gone by and years ago. Listen, the new preachers coming up now, they're missing something, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, there's something missing. It's just all wonderful and everybody's wonderful and how are you and it's good to see you and everything. And never getting down deep and digging in our heart and getting our heart right with God on and all. I mean, in other words, getting honest and getting coming clean and getting God done in your heart that'll make you want to live right tomorrow when you go back to work and have an experience and an encounter with the God of glory. I'm glad and I'm so thankful this morning that my mom went around the house singing and that I felt God's presence when I was little and that going to church is not just a ritual thing. I'm glad I met some people that was real. I'm glad I met some people that was real. I'm glad I got around some preachers this thing was real to. God was real. Heaven was real. Hell's real. You know how you know you're listening to the preacher and don't believe what he's preaching? They don't preach on hell. They don't preach on sin. They don't preach on judgment. It's just, yeah, we love you, come on. Smile all the time. Brother, we can't smile all the time. I drive a long way. This modern day, no change, no separation, no tears, no conviction, no worship is killing us. It wasn't a modern day hip-hop sort of a rock gospel group that got me when I was lost. It wasn't some smiley-faced, cool, hip preacher that got Danny Castle out of sin up there in Nebo when I was growing up. It wasn't one of these modern-day churches where everything's wonderful in here and everybody's got money and all that dug me out of my sins up there in Nebo. It was an old-fashioned King James Bible-believing preacher that got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and got a hold of God and the Holy Ghost fell on Nebo and began to draw me. It wasn't some cool group of young people all smiling and dressed nice going to a Christian college that got a hold of me. It was an old man of God and a woman that prayed and fasted for 6 days that got me saved. And I believe that's what it'll take for you and your kids and my grandkids sitting over here this morning. They need an old-fashioned touch of God once in a while. I'm telling you. That's what I'd do if I wasn't a pastor. You listen to me this morning? Brandon Freeze. Hey, they might hear this, him and Christy, but I don't think he'd care. He's been pastoring now for about, I don't know, several months. He told me the other day, he said, "Brother, I got to confess something to you." I said, "What?" He said, "We got a little church." He said, "We only run about 40 on a good day, maybe 50. And he said, I preach to them people. And he said, "I want to see them all there. And I want to see them all there and everything." He said, "When one of them's out, it tears my stomach up." He said, "Well, when I'm out, it kills me." And he said, "You know what I thought, don't you, Brother Daniel?" I said, "Yeah, I do know what you thought." He said, "I got a confession to make." He said, "All them times, me and Christy stayed home on Sunday night. We didn't know how it made you feel." I said, "That's all right, brother. Don't worry about it." He said, "That hurt you, didn't it?" I said, "Yeah, it did. It does hurt me when y'all don't come to church on Sunday. It hurts me. I ain't whining. I'm just, once in a while, I do what I'm doing this morning." You say, "We got a big church. You don't notice." I got a big memory. Photographic. I can take a picture of this place in my head and remember every one of y'all. Well, I wish my memory wasn't as good as it is.
God told me one time, He said, "Man, you got the best memory of anybody I've ever seen in my life." I said, "That ain't really a blessing. I have a lot of things I wish I could pick what I want to forget, don't you? I don't forget faces. And sometimes I'll walk right by you and act like you ain't even here because my head on other things. But I know when you're here and when you're not here." Brandon said, "I'm sorry, Brother Danny." He said, I didn't realize how a pastor feels when people don't come. He said, "It tears me up. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd go to church regular. I'd go to church. If you knew how it made me feel when I look up at the clock and your seat's empty. If you knew how it made me feel when I look at the offering board and the money's low and I got to worry about all the bills being paid. If you knew, if I wasn't a pastor, you know what I'd do? I'd put my money in that plate every Sunday morning. And if I was going to be gone, I'd call my pastor and say, 'Look, we're not going to be there this weekend. This is coming up. That's what I'd do.' Because I know how it feels from this side. You don't. You're like the little kid that runs and gets the milk out of the refrigerator and don't realize somebody's paying for it. Somebody's putting it there. Somebody's working for it so that you can have that milk in that refrigerator. Somebody has prayed so that we can have the Spirit of the Lord that we've got in here this morning. Somebody has worked for these lamps and these chandeliers and the carpet and the pews. This is tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Somebody don't just pop up out of the ground. Somebody paid a price for it. If I wasn't a pastor, and I've gone somewhere and I had to be gone once a year or twice at most on Sunday. That's what I do. Once a year or twice most. I'd save my tithes and I'd put them in that offering plate and I'd support my church because I know what my church is going through to get me and my family to heaven when they die. If I wasn't a pastor... If I wasn't a pastor and my pastor got up and said, "Look, bring weed eaters and stuff like that," everything, I would either be there or I'd go to him and I'd say, "Preacher, I would come and help you, but I got to work, sir." That's what I'd do if I wasn't a pastor. I wouldn't just ignore him and turn around and walk out that door. It hurts him too bad. It hurts him too bad. If my pastor got up and said, "We need help," I would either do what he asked me to or tell him why I couldn't. I'd say, "Pastor, sometimes I have to work on Saturday. Sometimes it's the only day I have to do this, this, and this. But I'll tell you what I'll do. The next Saturday, I'll come and help you all visit." I would. I wouldn't just walk out of here and totally ignore what he asked me to do if I wasn't a pastor. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd go to him and I'd say, "Look, I'm behind you." But see, sometimes you begin to wonder. If your wife don't ever tell you she loves you, or your husband never even tells, don't you start thinking, "Well..." The other day, there's a church somewhere in another state. They called me and said, "Why don't you just move down here and pastor our church?" And I said, "Well, what do you got to offer?" No, I didn't. I didn't say that. But I tell you what, I thought, sometimes I preach my head off to y'all, it just runs in one ear and out the other, and I think, "What good am I doing then?" Really, it feels like that sometimes. You know, like a wife, her husband never tells her he loves her, never does nothing for her, never, and then some other guy's flirting with her over here. That's why they do stuff like that. I'm going to run off with another church. Seriously, it's tempting. It's tempting. Look, this man called me. He said, "I've got a building." He said, "I've got a building here." He said, "This is a long time ago. He'll give you $500 a week cash. Tell it, you can have it. Won't cost you nothing. We'll fill it up with people. You'll come do this." I said, nope. I wouldn't leave my family for that. Same thing happened to the people in West Virginia and down in two places in Georgia and now in South Carolina. And they said, why don't you come here? I said, because I don't leave my family. That's why. You better be glad them three girls is in this town. I'd probably be long gone. But God used them to keep me here. You know what? I got enough of West Virginia and my mama and me. We don't leave our families. Families stick together. And I know this ain't much of a sermon, but I'm just saying, if I wasn't a pastor, I'm going to say one more thing and I'm through. I don't even know what time it is. If I wasn't a pastor, I would pray and fast and push and talk till I got my kids to God, my family and my grandkids. A lot of you don't realize, before I got saved, I played in rock and roll band. And I never done no drugs, I never drank, never smoked cigarette, never done nothing like that in my life. But I liked that music. And I played music and I was going down that road because I was only 14 when I was playing in a band. And the boys in the band was older than me. And we played for dancers over at the Lake Club in Marion. And people out there dancing with everybody's wife and staggering around and everything. And I just liked the music. I wasn't ready for all that stuff yet. But I would have been. I would have been. There ain't no doubt about it. There's no doubt. You can't hang around that kind of atmosphere and not fall off the edge sooner or later. And I the only reason I quit is to play ball. Coach told me, he said, if you're going to play basketball, you're going to make up your mind. You're going to play in a band or play basketball. I said, I'll choose basketball. And so I told him, I said, I'm quitting. They got mad. I said, I quit. They said, why? I said, because I'm going to be here at basketball practice every evening. Can't go play the band. And thank God I did that. That was one of the smartest things I ever done when I was lost. And it got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. My sister and her husband, the one that died with cancer, they was fighting like cats and dogs. They was fighting. They got in a fight one day, and he throwed the dishes down in the kitchen and busted them. And she got mad and went and busted the windshield of his truck with a hammer. So he went to get the gun. He was going to get the gun. She ran and got the gun and broke it down and poured molasses in his gun so he couldn't shoot it. I never worried about her. She'd take care of herself, that's for sure. My other sister, her and her husband was fighting. She'd come in with a big cut right here and tell Mom that she fell. Daddy was laying drunk. The whole family was going to hell. Mom was saved. She was suppressed. Daddy wouldn't let her have a car, wouldn't let her go to church. Daddy stayed drunk 2 weeks at a time, and I was out here rocking and rolling on my way to hell. That's the shape our family was in when I was 17. And I remember Mom was always scared Daddy would drop a cigarette and burn the house down or something. And she was always afraid you could smell tobacco and alcohol when you walked in the back door. And Mom was always scared. And I remember Daddy getting mad and he'd cuss and things. And my sister was over across the yard fussing with her husband. And I remember I'd just leave. I had me a little car then. And I'd just leave just so I wouldn't have to hear it. But I'm going to tell you something. Somebody got a hold of God. It was not just a little 3 or 4 night revival meeting. It was not just a little church service where we all come together and sing a few songs and then everybody went to the beach or went to the mountains or went and forgot it. Somebody got a hold of God. Somebody got a hold of God. The real God, the true God, the God of heaven. And this woman prayed and fasted and I felt something start tugging on me. I felt something start bothering me. I didn't even want to play ball. I got miserable. I got unhappy. Something got a hold of me, brother. And I went to the church and got saved. And when I got saved, my sister, on my first sermon, a few months after I got saved, my sister come and got saved on Sunday night. My other sister got right. My brother-in-law got saved. I left, my other brother-in-law got saved. And when he got saved, he got a six-pack of beer out of the refrigerator and poured it down the sink and in the commode. Daddy got saved. Well, everybody started going to church. My brother-in-law became a preacher. My other brother-in-law became a deacon. Brother, you know what? God got a hold of our family. That wasn't just a little preacher that come to town. The Holy Ghost got a hold of it. And that's what I'd do if I wasn't a preacher. I'd make sure my family got that. I'm going to tell you parents something. It ain't just enough to bring the kids to church. They got to get where they got to get God. Your kids know God? Do they know God? That's what you need to get them around. You can't hardly find it anymore. You just can't hardly find it. Go out and visit churches. I'm not telling you that. I'm just using this for an illustration. Go out and visit churches. I've had people say, we went on vacation, Brother Danny. We went to this church and it's hard to find God. You know how you know it's fake? Ain't never no tears. Nobody's crying. You see these contemporary worship services on TV? You don't see nobody crying. Amen. I'm not trying to be ugly. Conviction brings tears and repentance. It brings repentance. I'll tell you this, and I'm not through. I was listening to a TV preacher the other day. And you know how they have all these big things going. He said, we had people write out prayer requests. What would you want? You want God to do something for you. And we filled it out. And we was asking God for miracles for the whole church. I mean, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. Really, I don't see anything wrong with that. He said, we ask everybody in the church to write down what you wanted God to do and pass it up. And he said, this one fella, he wrote down, he said, I want God to give me a beautiful wife. And that was his request. Young man, trying to live for the Lord. He said, I want God to give me a beautiful wife. And it just so happened, this young lady sitting on the back said, God, I want you to give me a godly, good husband. That was their request. First thing you know, they got to talking, fell in love, got married. A few years, a few kids later, preacher went and talked to her. I said, boy, that's great how that worked out for y'all. And she said, yeah, that shows just be careful what you ask for. I think both of them got cheated. She got ugly and he got mean. That ain't really. So I got one fellow, he said, man, I seen that woman. She is so ugly. She looked like a fly landed on her nose and she tried to get it off of an ice pick. But anyway, I got to thinking about that. And I thought, what would I do? Listen this time forever. If I wasn't a pastor, and my pastor got up there and he said, write down on a piece of paper what you want. There ain't no doubt in my mind what I want. If my pastor asked me to write down what I want, I'd write down that my family and my grandkids know God. That's what I want. Because what good is everything else if you don't have that? Amen. What good is everything else if your family isn't together and happy? What good is it? What good is $1 million if you're miserable and fussing and fighting? What good is a new car if you have turmoil and fighting in the house? My grandkids over there this morning, I want them to know God. And I would rather them know the real God. When I'm dead and gone, I want them to say, my papa believed this. And God worked in his life and it's working for me too. I don't want them to say, well, I had to go to church because papa was a pastor. Mom and dad made me. I don't want that. I want them to grow up saying, glory to God, we believe the same thing. We got the same God, same hope. We're going to meet in the same heaven one of these days. Glory to God, people. You can't get no better than that. If all my family here this morning saved and happy and knowing God, I could be the happiest man in the world. And then, of course, all the rest of you too. I want that for all of you. But I don't mean to sound selfish, but I want it for my girls and our family first. I can't help it. That's what I want. Lord said, Danny, what do you want me to do? I want a new house. I want a new car. I want my family to know God and my grandkids to know God. You say, well, why everybody say, I ain't talking about just being saved. I'm talking about knowing the God. Know how to get your prayers answered. Know how to see Him working in your life every day. Knowing what sin is. Having eyes open. My girls are all smart. They all got spiritual side to them. They know what's right and what's wrong. But I want them to know God. And I want Dax and Kerrigan and Gagey and Aniston to be standing up here one of these days. And when I say what day you got saved on them, say Tuesday, Wednesday. And grow up, have the faith like Miss Kerr's got, brother. And if the Lord don't come teach their kids and their kids and their kids, that's a scripture that I read to you, man of God. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd do everything I could. I'd get some CDs of old-fashioned preaching and give it to my family and say, listen to this. Watch this DVD. Watch this. And stay on them all the time that they know God. I want you to stand. Bow your head for prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's talking. Nobody's moving. I have delivered you my heart. If you took some of it wrong, I am sorry. It wasn't on purpose. I had every good intention trying to help you. We've already got people coming to the altar. We're not going to sing. If you need to come and get your heart right with God, come on right now. Come on. If I wasn't a pastor and I was in your shoes, I'd be in this altar begging God to work in my family. That's what I do. Ain't no doubt in my mind that's what I do. See, it's hard for you to see it because you're not a pastor. It's hard for you to see what a principal goes through. You've never been one. It's hard for you to see what a policeman goes through. You've never been one. It's hard for you to see what a parent goes through. Some of you are still kids at home. You don't know how much your mom and dad worry about you and pray over you and the work they put in to feed you. If you wasn't in the shape you're in, you'll be in their shoes one of these days and you'll realize. Most of you will never be in my shoes. You'll never be a pastor. Take my word for it. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd get in this altar and I'd beg God to help my family. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, right there. Come on, right there. Let's get out of our seat and come. That's right. Others, let's do business with God this morning. Need to make some changes? Amen. Right here on this altar, husbands and wives, come on, come on. Daddies and kids, mamas and boys and girls, teenagers. Amen. Come on, right now. Come on, right now. Amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. Let's do business with the Lord here this morning. That's right. We got husbands and wives up here praying. That's good. Seek the Lord. Let your kids see you praying together. Let your kids set a fight. Let your kids see you praying. Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. That's right. Others are coming. Amen. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd be saying, God, pour it on, Brother Danny. Pour the power of the Holy Ghost on him. Oh, God, please. God, please. Brother Danny, I'll be here. I'll back you up. I'm with this church 100%. Lord, if I wasn't a pastor, that's what I'd do. I would. I ain't kidding you. You have no idea. You have no idea how it could hurt sometimes. The pain. The disappointment. The sleepless night. I mean, the devil fighting all the time. Amen. Let's do business with the Lord here this morning. Oh God, help us. Oh God, help us. Lord, I'm asking you to help us. I'm asking you to help us. Lord, we don't need just an emotional stir here this morning. We need the Holy Ghost to come and do something for us. Lord, do something for us and our kids and our grandkids, our families. Oh dear Lord, please give us services so they'll attract these little boys and girls, and they'll want to come to church, and they'll grow up saying, I know where God is. I want to go to that church. I want to bring my family up to church. That's where God is. Lord, that's my request this morning. That's my request, that they may know You. That they may know You. Lord, I'm begging You this morning. Let them see Jesus. Let this crowd see Jesus. Lord God, please do it. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Let this crowd see Jesus. Oh, Holy Ghost. Oh, Holy Ghost. Let this crowd see Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God help us. Help us, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'm still praying this morning. All right. Oh, all minds and hearts clear now?